I'm Zakia Hamid Jalal.
And can I ask your age?
I'm 68.
You were saying that in Bombay, just before partition, when you were living there in Baikula, you could sense that there was, I think you were saying, basically an increase in tension.
Yes. Yes, otherwise we had no intentions of moving to Lahore, but because of the tensions, and even my brother-in-law, Sadh Hassan Mantu, he could sense that things were not the same. And people, even friends, were behaving in a peculiar way, suspicious of each other. And so, of course, my mother decided that she wanted to move to Lahore, where we had our relatives, and Mantu's wife decided to move too. But Mantu said that he would stay on and see how it worked out. But gradually he was losing his contract from the film industry. People were not giving him work, and but still he still wanted to stay on. So we moved to Lahore.
How well did you know Mantu in his Bombay days?
Oh, I knew him very well. I was an orphan, and I had another sister too. He really treated us like his daughters, and he was very good to my mother. And because he was a very humane person, and we were not that well off, and he was doing quite well. So he really looked after all of us.
Give me a picture of what he looked like in those days in Bombay. What sort of man was he? If I met him, what would strike me about him?
He was a very neat and clean person. He used to wear khadi, which means
handloom,
yes. Immaculately white. He used to change his clothes practically twice a day, all pure white, and he used to have, he was very fond of nice things. I remember he had those, he always had that 555 cigarette box in his hand, and he always had a habit of buying very expensive fountain pens, and otherwise he was a simple man.
How did he feel? How did the family feel about partition?
It was a very mixed feeling at that time. We never dreamt that it would be like that. We thought, well, of course we would be, I mean, there would be some connection between both the countries, and it was never, we never thought that we would not be living with Hindus, or the Hindus would not be living with us. But later on it became vicious after the, because people just went mad after the partition took place. Something happened to both the people. They just started massacring people, and that is how the hatred started building up.
This sort of allegory of partitioner's madness is brought out very forcefully by Toba Tek Singh, that story. Mm-hmm. Where was Mantu when he wrote that?
Well, I don't remember exactly, but I think it was in Lahore.
By the time he'd settled in Lahore and he was writing again, mm-hmm. How was he then?
He actually, because of his condition, the alcoholic part, he had to he volunteered himself to be treated, and there were no clinics at that time, so he had to be he moved on his own free will to the Lahore Mental Hospital asylum, where he came across these mad people, and that is how where the inspiration came to him to write Toba Tek Singh, because he lived for about 3 months, and he was cured. And when he came back, he wrote the story.
But he didn't stay dry. He went back
home? No, he did for some time, for at least 6 months. He did stay dry. And then one fine day, I don't know, something must have happened. He came home and he had had his drink.
You said when we were chatting that he was, at this stage of his life, certainly an unhappy man. Mm-hmm. He was, as you say, an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. To what extent was this, do you think, influenced by partition and the turmoil that gave rise to?
Well, because the what was happening around him, I wonder whether you've read his story called Koldo. And when these ghastly stories came to his notice, he was very upset. And then the things that were going around Lahore, people were trying to grab each other's things, and it was absolutely loot. Nobody wanted to build up the country, but there were, of course, a few good people, and who wanted to do something for Pakistan. But then he was very unhappy because of the injustices that were in the society. But that happened even in India. He was, because both the countries had the same problems. The injustices are there. The rich start getting richer, and the poor are the ones who are denied everything. So he was unhappy of these things.
You mentioned Koldo. That is a story of the sexual violence that women suffered at partition time. It's a recurring theme in Manto's work. Why did he lay such emphasis on the tribulations of women?
Well, I wish you would ask this question. I don't know why, because the women were and are still these things are still going on everywhere. The other day I went to a human rights meeting, and there the feudals, the way they keep women captive, and there was a woman who came and told us that she was a Hindu woman, and the feudal had kept her, and she had a son by him, and then she had a daughter, and he killed the daughter. Because he didn't want his daughter to be married off to a Hindu. But the son was alive. She had brought him over with her. And I saw the child. And I was shocked. And then she was kept in a jail. And she did point out that because when that jail, they have these private jails, these feudals. And when the police came, she told them. The others just kept quiet. She was the only, because she was living with the feudal, and she said that this is what he does. And they were all set free. That private jail was set free.
But why do you think Manto particularly emphasized the sufferings of women?
Because he was a very sensitive man. He was a very, very sensitive man. That must be the reason. He knew the feelings of women, which, it's amazing. I really can't understand how a man could write a story called Sadak Ke Kinare. It's about a woman who has a child, an illegitimate child, and she leaves the child on the pavement. So, and the feelings of that woman. He captured those feelings, and it's. I really don't. I couldn't tell you why he was like that. He was.
Did he travel out and about? Did he go to camps to try and get in? You know, to get a background for his stories to make sure that their setting was accurate.
Perhaps I really don't know. He must be. He used to leave early in the morning, and come back late in the evening. And I couldn't tell you what he was doing the whole day, but he was getting stories from various people.
And what was his method of working? Did he work at home?
Yes. He would sit with all the children playing around. He never had a library of his own or a table of his own. He would just sit on the sofa with his legs up and his pen and paper, and he would sit. No, nothing bothered him, even the children playing around and making, a commotion. He would just finish a story, and by the way, he never wrote when he was when he had his drink. It was always in the morning that he wrote his stories.
Very creative people have sometimes reputation of being difficult to live with. Was that true of Mantua?
Well, he was very, very affectionate, and he was a family man. He was not a difficult man. The only difficulty that my sister had was that he couldn't stop drinking. And even, that was, he was not a difficult man at all. He was a very hospitable, very generous man. Most of his friends used to come and live for months at my sister's house. And my sister always used to, get upset that he has these stooges around him and she has to feed them. But that was the only time when he used to lose his temper with her, when she was unhappy with his friends. He was a very generous man. But by the way, my sister was a very, very fine person as well. She was a very simple person, but a very fine person. But she was unhappy because of his drink. That was the only thing that I can say.
By the time that Mantua died, Pakistan had been in existence for about 8 years. What did he feel about the way in which Pakistan was heading, the direction it was taking?
Very unhappy. He was very unhappy. Just the other day, my daughter-in-law was telling me that he was allotted an ice factory. One of the bureaucrats thought that he was an admirer of Mantua, and he was allotted a factory. And the form that he had to fill, Mantua said, "Well, I just can't fill this form because I have to tell a pack of lies before I get the factory. And I'm sorry, I don't have anything. I can't do anything with the ice factory." So, although he was in very, very bad financial state, but he refused to take the ice factory from the government.
Did he regard himself as a Pakistani?
Of course, yes. He was a Pakistani. But unfortunately, the Pakistanis didn't accept him. People accepted him, but the government never recognized him.
Why?
Because he was a rebel. He didn't toe anybody's line. I remember the Americans also came to him and they gave him some money and they said that he should write for them. And he said, "Well, I'll write for them." And then he wrote these Uncle Sam's letters, and the Americans were not happy with what he was saying about them. So he was the type that he would never toe anybody's line.
Did he go back to Bombay after he'd settled in Lahore?
No.
Did he want to?
Well, he never said anything about going back to Bombay.
But Lahore is a very different type of city to Bombay. Judging by things today, but it's a much more conservative city. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have the same sort of intellectual circles. It doesn't have as big a film industry. Mm-hmm. Did you think he felt a little bit like a fish out of water in Lahore?
That he did feel, but he did try to make one film here called Bailey, which flopped very badly. And after that, he did try to work for the Pakistan film industry, but somehow it didn't work out well.
Throughout his short stories, there is the feeling that partition was a terrible tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not clear to me whether it's a tragedy which was inevitable or a tragedy which he thought could have been avoided.
Well, then again, it becomes a political thing. He thought it was all madness, and we could have managed to live together. But the situation was such that the political situation was such that partition did take place, and that's a fact. And but the things didn't change. They were most the same. Even after partition, the things did not change for the common man. They are the same. The poor people have the same problems, both in India and Pakistan.
And Mantel wrote mainly about?
The downtrodden people, the women, the downtrodden people, the inequalities of life, the injustices of life.
How did his stories circulate? And they were published in magazines?
Yes, in magazines and then in book forms. There was a, but the exploitation had started. I mean, again, the publishers, as we were talking, the publishers were making money, but he didn't get enough money. He just got the money for his story, which was consumed in his drink, and that's all. And the family was suffering very badly.
You're obviously very proud of your brother-in-law.
Of course I am. I'm very proud of him.
What makes you most proud about him?
Because of his conviction. He was a very fine human being, and as far as I'm concerned, I really don't care whether people are very rich. I only want to see finer qualities in human beings, and which he did have. And I'm very proud of that.
Is there any particular story which you are particularly fond of?
Naya Kanoon. Have you read that? The Constitution? The new constitution. That's a story which relates that things will change, but the common people think that things will change, but they are the same. They don't change. The exploitation is the same. The injustices are the same.
And is that an allegory on Pakistan?
Well, yes, I would say that. The exploitation. And the privileged people have come out very strong. The feudals have taken over the country. The fundamentals, the sectarianism, that's again, he would have been a very unhappy man if he was alive today. The way the intolerance in the society has developed. The fundamentalists have taken over. This is not what Qaid Azam wanted. He was a secular person, but now people say that he was not. History has been changed. He thought he wanted equal rights for both the communities, the Hindus and the Muslims, within Pakistan, within India. But he was forced to take Pakistan and get out of India. This is where people think that he fought for Pakistan. He wanted a separate homeland. Well, I know that he doesn't. He did not do that. He wanted equal rights because the injustices in India were the same. But the tragedy is that even now, things haven't changed in Pakistan. It's the strong versus the weak. So this.
Tell me how Mantel died.
Well, he died of cirrhosis of liver. He was told by the doctors not to, that he should stop drinking. And that's how he did stop drinking. But then again, he started taking his drinks again. And then he started, vomiting blood. And one morning, my sister came to me and said that we have to remove him to the hospital. And I ran, and we didn't have a telephone at our house. I went to our next door neighbor. I called, and the ambulance came. But by the time he reached the hospital, he was declared dead.
Did he die a wealthy man?
Wealthy? No. I've been telling you that he was... We all pooled in and survived. He died a very poor man. He didn't have anything. And my sister was even poorer with her three little daughters. But we all managed to make it. Thank you.
Thank you.